welcome to the 10th episode of Progressive Murder Mystery Podcasts, a series with one villain and 10 victims who profess to have killed him. Yet, in this episode, we aren't even sure if that is true.
There are many good men and women in the world, and many bad. A few are evil. And there are others, who walk among us as heroes to be admired, who display charm, charisma, wealth, and power, with lifestyles to envy. They can appear as good, but then entice and entrap and destroy because they can. For many years, such a man has engendered friends in high places, built his own empires, and destroyed others. He has been admired, feared, and hated. This is a story about him. His name is Donald T. Johnson.
Not surprisingly, a great many people want to kill him. This is just one of them.
And now for the 10th episode in our series, Who Killed Donald T. Johnson? Spider Baby by Julie Hoverson. The place? Somewhere hidden. The time? Early 2018. Enjoy.
I should begin by saying I haven't killed Mr. Big. Yet. I'm not quite finished with him. You know who I mean. The big entrepreneur, real estate mogul, sadist and scumbag rapist. The pseudonym suits him. It suits me, too. I've spent a third of my life making his life easy and driving him mad. And staring him right in the face the whole time.
What?
Your mail, sir.
Did you use the new ultraviolet lights on everything?
Yes.
Disinfect?
Of course.
Nothing suspicious?
I think he's given up, sir.
You're lucky you're not the one he's after.
Oh, I know, sir. I had him convinced there was someone sending him envelopes of anthrax. Of course, I had to actually send anthrax to him, but just the once. And then there were the diet supplements. He's so obsessed with his looks. When his new friend, that celebrity doctor, gave him some supplements, I tossed in a bit of something and he started to lose hair. The lawsuit was stupendous.
Hmm?
You're a good listener. It's nice to have someone to talk to.
Hmm.
But you have to let me finish, or we'll be here all night debating the morality of all this, and that's just pointless. You can't shove vengeance into a moral box. It just doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why pathetic men only want to have sex with virgins? Well, So the girl won't have anything to compare him to, and she can't tell him how bad he is in bed. Imagine being a normal, fresh-faced, pretty, corn-fed Iowan cheerleader. Virgin, picked out of your sophomore squad and offered a rocket to stardom. Can you?
Hmm?
Not me, silly. My mother. She was as gullible as any teenage girl, but thought she knew how to judge people. She didn't understand that some men just don't hear the word no. You've seen the news reports. Yep, my mother was one of those. The party girls. The we thought she was 18 girls. While President Bill Clinton was being impeached for his indiscretions, Mr. Big was laughing up his proverbial sleeve, surrounded by young, impressionable meat. Mom never reported it. Luckily, she had some money. I don't think she got it from him, and she decided to keep me. I know, I don't look anything like him, though you're really not seeing me at my best, Pet. Mom was never right. Not ever in my lifetime. I know that now. But as a child, you'd just go with the flow. When you hardly ever leave the house, you never see that other people do. Ballet, gymnastics, parkour, self-defense. Soon as I could walk, she had me studying anything that would make me strong enough to avoid her fate. I would wake up in the morning tied to the bed, or a chair, or locked in a closet, and have to escape before breakfast got cold. I didn't go to real school until I was well into my teens. Socialization wasn't much of an option by then, but it taught me well how to be invisible. I'm laying the groundwork, Pet. You can't have Batman without having his murdered parents first, right? Fine, I'll skip ahead. I got my GED early and took all sorts of classes, picking up any skill I set my hand to. Filing, typing, hacking, disguise, anything that might make my one job in life easier. And that job was? Oh, this is getting tedious. Can you keep quiet? There's nobody else on this floor anyway. Alrighty then. You're the one who didn't shave.
Oh, ouch.
Tant pis pour toi. Before you start wondering too much, you might have noticed I didn't cover your eyes.
Yeah.
Which would normally mean I was going to kill you anyway, since you've seen my face. Well, isn't that what they teach you, Pet?
Teach you?
Don't play dumb. I know you're not carrying ID. Must be undercover. But you're definitely a professional. Hello, hello, hello. Are you a bobby?
No.
So you were following me for funsies? Not with pro techniques like that. Don't lie. I get annoyed. And while I don't actually like hurting people, most people, I don't have any particular qualms about it either, Pet.
Interpol.
I've hit the big time. Wait, what put you on my trail?
An anonymous tip.
No, really. No one could tell you because no one knows about me.
That's all I know.
But you could be wrong. Or lying. Or maybe someone lied to you.
Take it as you will.
If I assume you're here by accident, I might underestimate your capabilities and you could think of a way out.
I'm not that...
But you didn't just come out on a random tail job. You left your identity at home, dressed for the neighborhood and brought plenty of money. Which means you're either well off or well funded.
Well...
I think you're smarter than you want me to know, Pat.
My name is Barry.
But not that smart.
Unless it's not my real name.
Nope. I'm not going to worry over it. Not this close to...
Close?
The finish line. Which is why I probably won't even need to kill you.
Cheers.
Besides, there's a good chance you haven't actually seen my real face. Most people never do. Or maybe I just don't care if I'm caught once I finish with the high and mighty Mr. Big. Or I'm already finished and will be impossible to find by the time someone cuts you out of your little duct tape cocoon there, Barry.
Oh.
So there's no point in being all grumpy and defeatist. That's something like a 67% chance that I won't just kill you. I've never really killed anyone before.
Randall Grant.
Oh, I knew you were good. But I didn't kill Grant. Just made sure enough evidence was found deep in his hard drive to make him kill himself. I still count it as a win. That made Mr. Big replace every computer in the place and gave me a chance to slip in some code that gave me access to everything.
Any chance of a drink, maybe?
Oh, you want some tea?
It's awfully warm in here.
Lots of strands and a good web. I hope you can hold it if you need to, you know. There's no way to get you loose easily, so you'll just sort of steep until somebody finds you.
Right. So, why do you call him Mr. Big? Why not use his real name?
Mom called him that. She only told me which one he was on her deathbed when she made me swear I would get him. Mr. Big just sounds right.
Oh.
And, of course, depersonalization. Easier to kill someone if you don't think of them as a real person.
They say.
You might wonder how I even got where I am today. Not here, obviously, but in my trusted position in Mr. Big's empire that allows me to do all that I do.
I might.
It's not hard if you have a clear goal in mind and no particular scruples. Get people fired, take their job.
You make it sound so simple.
I could always assuage myself by thinking how they're better off not being in his empire when it crumbles, but mostly I just don't care. I watched the strings he pulled, the deals he was finagling, followed his movements carefully, then casually put myself in his way. And then again. And again. Until I managed to catch his eye. He winced. I was so unattractive. Don't even try flattering me, Barry. I know what I look like just now, and how much better and worse I can look, with just a little work. Your opinion is superfluous. But you should have seen me then, just awkward in every way. I studied Mr. Big's type, and made sure to break with that image in the most subtle of ways. Thick ankles, dull hair, easy stuff. Nothing in my performance, though. I worked like a dog, sometimes all night, to make sure everything I did was perfect. And he saw that. That pig could always spot someone worth exploiting.
Never tried to get it on with, say, you?
It's frightfully easy, really. A man like Mr. Big sees women as two completely different life forms. Fuckable and functional.
Come on.
As long as I was very, very functional, very, very functional, and maintained my perfect butterface, he left me alone. Once I uncovered the anthrax and almost took a hit for him, he started trusting old Judith implicitly.
He's a fool.
Of course he is. The problem is that he's a fool that gets away with it. He's just cunning enough to use that foolishness to make everyone else underestimate him while he steals their fucking pants. This is the man, no, the creature, who specializes in breaking people in half and leaving shards of them all over the place. He deserves a hell of a lot more than I could ever do to him.
Come on.
Nothing you've heard yet is the depth of his disgustingness. He's so good at hiding his conquests. My mother made it out without being hooked on drugs or sold into a foreign brothel. She was incredibly lucky and still ended up all fucked up for life. Girls with no family or contacts turned up dead. Or just cargo.
We know.
But we just don't have enough evidence to move forward against him with any certainty of getting a conviction. Right, Barry? Right? Right? Fuck that noise!
Why haven't you killed him yet?
Well, of course that's the plan. It's been so much fun messing with him, though. Watching him squirm. You know, they say he's a germaphobe and won't travel without his own sheets and solid gold toilet seat. That was all me. You wouldn't believe how few bedbugs it takes to seed even the best hotel. I might actually be responsible for their recent resurgence. I can't help but think Mom would have appreciated it. He made her afraid to leave the house, or talk to men, or trust anyone. Sometimes not even me. I really wanted him to fear going outside, but I had to settle for germophobia. You take what you can get.
So you've been there, working away for him?
Yes.
Facilitating his crimes?
Yes.
Helping him abuse and destroy others, just like your mom. When you might have...
Might have what? Stopped him? Yeah, right. Fixed him. Saved everyone. Don't you think it's hard to wait to watch people being destroyed right and left and know that, short of just walking into his office and shooting him in the head, I couldn't do anything about it yet?
Why not just walk in there and shoot him?
I'd be arrested.
So? It's not like you've got much to look forward to anyway.
That's just mean. You don't even know me. Besides, if I wasn't there at all, they would still be suffering. So I just had to set that aside and focus. Focus is key. Focus.
And you're in London for...
The wedding. I'm with the entourage. He is here for the wedding. I make all his plans. I have to be on hand for any changes. I don't get an actual invite to the event, mind you, but that's just a lot of standing around in hats, am I right?
You must be approaching some conclusion, since you've chosen to speak to, well, to me.
You're a good guesser, Barry. I knew I couldn't drag it out forever anyway, and I've got most of his secret liquid assets ready to drain out a hole in his firewall at the push of a button. Though I really, really want him to not be dead yet when I do that, since he needs to know, to be completely aware that he's lost everything, that he is the biggest loser.
But you do plan to kill him?
Maybe. I don't have to. Someone will.
What do you mean?
I've intercepted so many threatening letters, emails, all that. I research every damn one. Let him know I discounted or nullified the crazy bogus stuff, but there's at least 3 credible threats out there, possibly more, that I never passed along.
Who?
They are not the point! He is not the point! I am the point!
Sorry. Sorry. I see what you mean. You've worked so hard and kept everything so secret for so long. You just need to talk it out.
Precisely. Not in the confessional, get it off my soul way. They do that here, right?
Some do.
More in the I'm just bursting to brag, and this is the kind of thing you can't even share with a bestie, if you ever even had one. Way, you see?
Yes.
You could be my bestie for a while, right, Barry? I could cut your toes out of the duct tape and paint your nails if it helps. That would also give you a drain if you, you know, lose control. Maybe.
So you wouldn't mind if someone else were to kill him, then?
It could be a bit disappointing, I guess. But even if I did it myself, I'm too smart to do it face to face. And unless I can watch his eyes as he dies, I guess it really doesn't matter. I have stopped a couple of attempts, the less interesting ones. A couple of guys whose companies rolled under once their contracts were reneged on by good old Mr. Big.
How?
One of them, let's call him Bob. I just fed Bob some wrong info about Mr. Big being alone at night, and then met with Bob and traded him his gun for enough money to start a new company.
Ah, okay.
Another one, Roy, wasn't going to be bought off, so I spent a night or two faking up a chain of threatening messages, and He'll be out in about 4 years, with good behavior. He was all about explosives, and they're just not stable.
They?
Too much chance of collateral.
If you did decide to kill Mr. Big, what would you use?
Oh, something he keeps with him all the time. In fact, I may have already put this into practice, just very, very slowly. I'm not telling. Do you know the number one place most people dawdle on their phones?
His phone? You're going to kill him with his own phone?
Nothing so ordinary, but he does use it a lot. He loves the attention, from a safe distance, of course.
Then?
My mother used to leave me in the dark, in the middle of the house, with all the windows sealed up and the electricity off, to see if I could feel my way through a pitch-black obstacle course and get to her room without hurting myself too much.
That's awful.
Oh no, that was a reward for doing well. Most of the time. Whenever she added something new, like having to pick a lock on a handcuff first, it got harder.
Whatever you've done, I'm sure...
Don't. Just don't. I am 100% aware of the consequences of my actions. You can't appeal to my feelings of persecution or some dubious need for a father figure. I regret nothing. Jamais rien. I'm so much more capable and functional than most people. Demonizing my childhood is pointless. It's cold.
It's getting late.
Yeah. He may already be dead.
Oh?
Yeah. There were signs that this trip wasn't safe. That's why I'm here. Here with you, I mean. Trying to stop myself from interfering again.
Why?
It's a particularly addictive game. Seeing how close to the fire one can fly without getting singed. How close I can let someone get to him before it's too late to stop them. I much prefer to be the spider than the moth.
Ah, okay.
Moths just make holes. I was having too much fun with the money, the power, the trappings, the paranoia.
Paranoia?
Oh, his, not mine.
Of course, yeah.
Shit.
What?
Wow. Oh, that's kind of funny.
What?
I guess I do have something to confess. A deep, dark secret even I didn't see till just this moment.
Go on.
Dead or alive, I'm not getting away from it. I am, in some fundamental ways, just like my father.
You have been listening to Spider Baby, written, produced, and performed by Julie Hoverson. Additional performers, the victim, Barry Hayworth. The captive, Alice Adir Turgoose. This was the 10th episode of the series, Who Killed Donald T. Johnson? For more information about this and other episodes, please visit our Facebook page or go to our webpage at progressivemurdermysterypodcast.com, where we also invite comments. And if you enjoyed this latest episode, we would appreciate a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you.